The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and from the Harvard Health Letter. And in fact, the first article is from the September 2021 issue of the Harvard Health Letter. And it's entitled, Gadgets to Help You Sleep Better. Do they work? For many people, the nightly trip to dreamland is a difficult journey. Up to a third of all adults, including 30 to 48% of older people, have a hard time falling or staying asleep at some point, with about 10% developing chronic insomnia. So it's not surprising that a wide array of gadgets claim to help you get more Z's. Do they really help? To find out, we turn to Dr. Lawrence Epstein, a sleep specialist with Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital and medical editor of the Harvard Special Health Report entitled Improving Sleep. That's www.health.harvard.edu/IS. Here are his takes on devices that promote sleep. Sound or white noise machines. These small bedside machines play sounds from nature, like gentle waves or rain, or city sounds like traffic. Sound machines can be very helpful if the person is in an environmentally challenging situation where noise is disrupting sleep. Dr. Epstein says, this can be anything from living near an airport to having the bedroom next to the garage or sleeping with someone who snores. The goal is to block out spikes in noise that can disrupt someone's sleep. Prices start at about $10. Next is earbuds for sleep. These earbuds are designed for sleeping, not listening to music. They're comfortable enough for you to sleep on your side. They might mask noise with other sounds, or they might cancel noise by blocking it out with certain frequencies. As with sound machines, things that reduce noise will improve the sleep environment and can reduce unwanted awakenings, Dr. Epstein says. These cost about $100. Next is a sunrise alarm. The sunrise alarm simulates the sun coming up by scheduling the timing of the first light you see. It's very important to wake up and go to sleep at the same time every day, and a sunrise alarm can be very effective for people with circadian rhythm sleep-wake disorders. Light has the strongest effect in setting and shifting the circadian clock. Be sure to set the alarm correctly. If it lights up too early, it'll worsen the quality of your sleep. Next is a weighted blanket. Weighted blankets contain plastic or glass beads to make them heavier. Blankets range from 12 to 25 pounds. And are intended to simulate a comforting hug or the swaddling we experience as infants. There is little research on the effectiveness of the blankets, but some studies suggest they may be helpful in reducing anxiety. Less anxiety may help you fall or stay asleep, but we don't have enough evidence yet. Dr. Epstein says prices start at about $50. Next is smartphone apps. Applications or apps are programs you download to your smartphone. There are many apps that can help you sleep, including white noise makers, sleep activity trackers, relaxation and meditation guides, and even online programs for cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. These cognitive behavioral therapy programs train you to shift unproductive thinking patterns or habits that affect sleep. Recently, SomRyst, that's SomRyst, became the first FDA-authorized prescription CBTI app for people with chronic insomnia. Remarkably, SomRyst, that's SomRyst, the prescription app that was just discussed, costs $700 for a 9-week program, which requires a doctor's prescription. Apps for white noise, sleep tracking, or meditation may be free or cost less than $10. The next thing they talk about is cooling systems. Getting too hot at night can interrupt your sleep. There are some elaborate ways to stay cool, like using an expensive water-cooled system for your mattress or pillow. One newer, novel device that Dr. Epstein recommends is called the Ebb Cool Drift Versa Sleep System. It cools the forehead and is FDA approved. Just to spell that out, it's Ebb Cool, that's EBBCOOL, Drift Versa, DriftVersa Sleep System. The brain cools down during sleep, and the start of the temperature drop is one of the signals for impending sleep, Dr. Epstein says. Would a pillow or mattress topper with fabric that wicks away heat and moisture ease insomnia? Dr. Epstein says there's no evidence they'd help, but they wouldn't hurt if they keep you comfortable. The Ebb Cool Drift Versa sleep system costs about $300. Proven methods to promote better sleep include cognitive behavioral therapy from a therapist, keeping your room dark and cool, going to sleep and waking up at the same time every day, and avoiding alcohol, meals, caffeine, exercising, and all electronic screens like bright phones, TVs, or computers within 2 hours of bedtime. Now I'm going to turn to a longer article from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. This is the August 2021 issue, and it's entitled Osteoporosis, What You Can Do. It's easy to think of bones as solid and unchanging, but bones are living tissue, and like many other parts of the body, are continually breaking down and reforming. When you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone, and your bone mass increases. But as you age, bone mass is lost faster than it's created. If your bone density decreases to a certain point, you have osteoporosis, meaning your bones are weakened. This puts you at a higher risk of fractures from falls, or it can mean that fractures occur due to something typically harmless, like bending over or coughing. Whether you've been diagnosed with osteoporosis or you want to prevent it, exercise and diet can make a significant difference in your bone health. Though osteoporosis can affect anyone, some people are at higher risk. This includes women, especially white women or women of Asian descent, people with smaller body frames, and those who have a family history of the disease. Aging and menopause are also important risk factors. That's because having lower levels of sex hormones, like estrogen, can weaken bones. Unfortunately, people may not be aware they have osteoporosis until they experience a fracture, often in the wrist, hip, or spine. In some cases, spinal fractures can occur even without a fall. which can result in back pain and an exaggerated forward rounding of the back. That's why screening is important. Screening is looking for a disease before a problem has occurred or signs and symptoms are evident, so you can take action to prevent future problems. Under a microscope, healthy bone looks like a honeycomb matrix, while osteoporotic bone looks more porous. Certain exercises like Tai Chi can improve balance and stability and protect bone by preventing falls. Deciding when you should be screened involves a variety of factors, but in general, all women over the age of 65 should be screened. Men probably should be screened at age 70, especially if they have health issues likely to cause osteoporosis. Screening may involve a bone density test using X-rays to determine the portion of minerals in your bones. If you're over age 50 and have had a fracture from a fall or a lower trauma incident, ask your doctor about assessing your bone density. You can then lower your risk of breaking more bones in the future. If your doctor diagnoses you with osteoporosis after a bone density test or fracture, he or she will help you form a treatment plan. Another possible diagnosis is osteopenia, which means you have some bone loss, but not yet to the point of osteoporosis. If you have osteoporosis, it's possible that you will be prescribed a medication to boost your bone health. These medications include bisphosphonates, like alendronate. The other name for alendronate is Fosamax, or risendronate. Its other name is Actonel or Atelvia. These are common choices for treatment, but there are numerous other options. Your doctor can help you understand the relative benefits and risks of each medication. Other treatments that are used besides those include hormone-related therapy. Estrogen, sometimes paired with progestin, was once commonly used to treat osteoporosis. This is less often the case today because of concerns about increasing the risk of breast cancer. Women considering hormone replacement therapy to reduce menopausal symptoms like hot flashes may factor in increased bone health when weighing the benefits and risks. Raloxifene or Avista mimics estrogen's beneficial effects on bone without some of the risks associated with estrogen therapy. The next option is monoclonal antibody medication. Denosumab or Prolia is an injected medication given every 6 months that lowers the chance of fracture by stopping the development of bone-removing cells. Bone-building medications. If you have very low bone density or have had fractures, your doctor may suggest trying teriparatide or Fortio or abaloparatide or Timlos or romosuzumab or Evenity injections. Unlike osteoporosis drugs that slow bone loss, these drugs boost the process of building new bone. In addition to medications, you should take lifestyle steps to actively improve your bone health. These include eating for strong bones. You probably know the name of the game, calcium intake. If you're under age 50, you should get 1,000 milligrams of calcium every day. Women over 50 and men over 70 should get 1,200 milligrams of calcium every day. The way to do this is to drink a cup of skim milk at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or add an ounce, a slice or two of cheddar cheese to your sandwich for an extra 200 milligrams of calcium. Make tomato soup with milk instead of water. A 2-cup portion can give you 340 milligrams of calcium. Stock up on low-fat or fat-free yogurt. You can eat the yogurt by itself or with fruit and granola, or use it to make a veggie dip, a fruit dip, or a smoothie. A 6-ounce cup of low-fat plain yogurt may contain 300 milligrams of calcium. And remember, you're shooting for 1,200 milligrams if you're a woman over 50 or a man over 70. Remember that dark leafy greens and calcium-fortified orange juice and cereals provide some calcium. This may be particularly beneficial if you're vegan or lactose intolerant. In addition, there is a growing selection of lactose-free dairy products and calcium-fortified plant-based beverages like soy milk, almond milk, rice milk, and oat milk. It's best to get calcium from your diet, but if you can't, you can take a calcium supplement. Another important consideration is vitamin D, which aids calcium absorption in the small intestine. The main source of vitamin D is sunlight, but it may be hard to obtain adequate vitamin D from the sun if you spend most of your time indoors, or if you often wear sunscreen, or have a darker skin tone, or spend your winters in the northern latitudes where the sun's rays are weaker. Only a few foods are naturally rich in vitamin D. These include salmon, cod liver oil, liver, and egg yolks. Milk may be fortified with vitamin D, and foods like cereals, orange juice, and yogurt may also be fortified. Given the challenge of getting enough vitamin D, older adults may need a supplement. Adults age 51 to 70 should get 600 international units of vitamin D a day. And after age 70, you should get 800 international units. Next is exercising for strong bones. You may think that those with weak bones should avoid exercise, but certain types of exercise actually strengthen the muscles and may limit bone loss, while other types of exercise are designed to improve your balance, which can help prevent falls. If you have osteoporosis, consult your doctor before starting an exercise program. A physical therapist or other specialist with experience working with people with osteoporosis can help you to develop safe exercise practices. Proper form and technique are crucial to prevent injury and get the most out of your workout. For those with osteoporosis and those looking to prevent it, here are some exercises that can be helpful. The first is strength training. You can do this with weights, resistance bands, or your own body weight. The strength training should include side steps and side lunges. Next is weight-bearing aerobic activities. These are exercises like hiking, dancing, or stair climbing, which you should do for half an hour on most days. These exercises work directly on the bones in your legs, hips, and spine. Aerobic activities like swimming and bicycling are not weight-bearing, but they provide health benefits. Next is flexibility exercises. Maintaining flexibility and range of motion is important for every adult. Stretches are best performed after your muscles are warmed up. Do these exercises slowly, without bouncing. Next is stability and balance exercises. Fall prevention is especially important for people with osteoporosis. Practice standing on one leg or controlled movement exercise like Tai Chi, and this can help improve your balance and stability. If you have osteoporosis, there are certain exercises you should avoid, like jumping and jogging, because these are high-impact exercises. Also, you should avoid bending and twisting. Activities in which you bend at the waist or twist your waist can increase the risk of spine fracture. These may also include golf, tennis, bowling, and some yoga poses. Ask a physical therapist or osteoporosis specialist to help you determine which activities you may need to avoid or to modify. In addition, avoid smoking and drinking excess alcohol, both of which increase your osteoporosis risk. Limit alcoholic drinks to 2 a day for men and 1 a day for women. Now I'm going to turn to the Harvard Health Letter from September 2021, and these are news briefs. The first one says, take short breaks to maximize memory and learning. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. In a study published June 8, 2021 in Cell Reports, shows that taking short breaks between practice sessions is also essential to mastering a new skill. In the study, right-handed volunteers agreed to use their left hand to tap out on a keypad a series of 6 numbers shown to them on a computer screen. Participants tapped the numbers as quickly as they could for 10 seconds, followed by a 10-second rest break for a total of 36 training and rest periods. Brain waves recorded during the experiment revealed that the brain was rapidly replaying the keypad task dozens of times during breaks. The more the brain did this instant replay, and the faster, the better people performed during practice sessions. Staying mentally engaged helps keep your mind and memory strong. So when taking on new mental challenges, whether you're mastering a physical skill like golf or learning a new language, remember that periods of focused study or practice mixed with rest will boost your proficiency better than marathon sessions. Next is, mobile health and fitness apps pose privacy risks. Mobile health apps for your smartphone can help you recognize and manage health problems, provide nutrition advice, and count the number of steps you walk. But most aren't doing enough to protect your private information, according to a study published online June 16, 2021, by the British Medical Journal. Among millions of available apps, researchers estimated that about 99,000 focus on health and fitness. Researchers downloaded about 16,000 free mobile health apps and picked through their programming to see how the apps managed personal data, like your name, your contact information, the type of phone you use, and your geographic location. Most of the apps had the potential ability to share personal data with Google or Facebook, for example. In brief tests, at least 4% of the apps collected and transmitted personal data, though researchers suspect this percentage could be much higher in real-world use. About a third of the apps didn't provide access to their privacy policies, and a quarter violated their own policies. What that means for you is you should take the time to find out how an app may handle or mishandle your personal information before you start using it. Look for those details in an app's description listed under About This App or App Permissions. Finally, in news briefs, A blood test may predict increased risk for Alzheimer's disease. Tests to determine whether people are at risk for developing Alzheimer's disease can be difficult and costly. Some require a spinal tap, and others involve expensive brain imaging studies not done in every hospital. A study published online in June 2, 2021 by the journal Brain found that a blood test may help to predict an increased risk for Alzheimer's disease. The study followed 159 people who were cognitively normal for 2 years and found that higher levels of one blood marker called p-tau, that's capital P dash T-A-U, predicted people who were more likely to develop cognitive decline and brain shrinkage. P-tau is known to be associated with Alzheimer's disease. P-tau levels also were abnormal in 123 people who already had Alzheimer's, but not in people with other kinds of dementia. Measuring p-tau in the blood was as accurate in predicting increased risk as measuring it in the spinal fluid, meaning that a simple blood test could eliminate the need for a spinal tap. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's NCREADING. SERVICE.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.